Billy Graham crusade in Sydney. I was totally illiterate the night I got saved. I couldn't read nor write. I had a very bad speech impediment. And it took a couple of years to untangle the alcoholic mind and the drug abuse and the witchcraft. And just prior to Easter in 1961, I was taken to Manly District Hospital in Sydney. It was a case of an emergency. I was bleeding internally, was facing inevitable death, and I was operated on immediately and told that if they couldn't stop the bleeding, that the body would die. However, the bleeding did stop, and I did live. But whilst I was in hospital, I had the privilege of listening to a man die with leukemia. And he had 3 days and three nights to live when he was brought into hospital. And it was on Good Friday morning at 7 a.m. that man went to be with the Lord. But at 2 o'clock Friday morning, 1961, 25 years ago today, as I stood outside the window of that man listening to his prayers and as he was praying to die, it was then that I realized who this Christ is that I had committed my life to. And it was that morning that I offered him my life in all of its ugliness for whatever he wanted me to do. My next door neighbor came and got me from the hospital at 10 a.m. I came home and we were talking about it at breakfast morning, and I took my wife and my two children, who were small then, to a little place called 40 Bath, a lovely little beach spot, and it was for the first time in my life, my married life, that I saw my children. Daughter was 5 years of age and my boy was going on 4, and my eyes were opened and I saw them for the very first time. It was a very precious Good Friday, one that I've always remembered. Easter Friday really is a significant day. But I want to speak with you out of my heart and out of the scripture today. And during the week, it's been a very heavy week with 3 sermons to prepare and 2 newspaper articles. But as I have wrestled with the reality of what transpired long ago, I want to share with you what I believe is the significance of today. And I want to look at the verse of scripture, verse 33, that says, at the 6th hour, darkness came over the whole land until the 9th hour. Now that word darkness in the Greek is a tremendous word. It's skotos. And what it really means is to be overcome by the night. And as you are overcome, you are forced to stop. You cannot go on. Visibility is no longer there. Now I suppose there are many of you that have been involved in fierce storms of one nature or another. You seem to have a few of them up here anyhow. And if you have ever been involved in a fierce storm, you will recall how the wind blows and there comes that uncanny darkness upon the location of the storm. And the lightning flashes and the thunder roars. There is an uncanniness about it. And during the unleashing, the storm does not tell you what it's going to do. But when it's all over, you can see what it has done. You can see the damage to the houses and to the cars, etc., etc. Didn't get that out of the King and I either. But I think it's fair to say that many people have experienced weird, unnatural darkness during the day. There are people in different parts of the world, of course, who live where the dull gray ash and powder of a volcano has drifted between them and the sun. And so for many days, everything is bathed in a sickly pale gloom. And of course, there are the natural eclipses of the sun that occur occasionally. However, I have often wondered why we do not talk more about the darkness that came with total unexpectedness when Jesus Christ was crucified. More than one of the Gospels mentions it, but it's very seldom talked about. It's just merely noted. Much of the emphasis today will be on the chief priests and the treacherous acts and Pilate and the soldiers and the behavior of others who mocked Jesus. And of course, there'll be a lot of attention given to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But unless you understand the significance of the darkness, you don't understand really what transpired. You see, the darkness was one of the most overwhelming of all the crucifixion events. For it enshrouded everything and it infused every event with an inexpressible horror. Now, if I had about 2 hours to preach, I could spend 2 hours just on that statement. It enshrouded everything and it infused every event with an inexpressible horror. And one account of the crucifixion and of this darkness that surrounded it is found in the Gospel according to Mark, which says, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Of course, some of the people standing by thought he was calling for Elijah, and one ran with a sponge of vinegar and offered it to Jesus to drink. And then they made the caustic statement, leave him alone and let's see now if Elijah will come and take him down. And then Mark's Gospel says, with a very, very loud cry, our Lord breathed his last. Now, it's in those few sentences in Mark's Gospel that there are many things that attract our attention. But it is the darkness which is very special. It is the darkness that we are going to center our thinking upon for a little while this morning. Because it created the atmosphere in which Jesus touched the depth of the crucifixion experience. Now, preachers of the gospel always talk about an atmosphere. We come into church and we expect an atmosphere to be there for worship. Because God is there in the atmosphere. And there was an atmosphere that had to be at Calvary. For our Lord, I believe, the darkness must have contributed to the intensity of what he went through. Just as an aside, the Gospel of Luke, of course, says the sun stopped shining. But we know from historical records that an eclipse of the sun was not possible. It was Passover time. It was full moon time. So what we have here at Calvary is a supernatural darkness which lasted a very specific period of time and which was designed by God to enshroud the crucifixion scene. And indeed the surrounding country in just the same manner. What are we learning? We are learning this, that God wanted the cross enshrouded with darkness. You see, the darkness humbles us by showing us dramatically that there are things that happened when Jesus died that we will never be able to understand. Surely one of the mysteries of the cross is the mystery of evil itself. I do not have to remind you of the darkness of the hour, the evil that is in the world and the evil people in the world. We are in the last day. But as we stop and think about the 3 hours of darkness that surrounded Jesus Christ on Calvary, we must understand that it was then that God himself dealt with evil and conquered it. Now, frequently the Bible associates darkness with God's judgment. And at the cross, the power of evil was unleashed against the Son of God, and God met his arch enemy head on. Now, there are many people, of course, who find themselves in this day and age overwhelmed by the reality of evil. And they often persecute themselves with this statement, why did this happen to me? There will be many people this Easter weekend who will ask that question, why has this happened to me? Why has this happened to our family? Why was my son killed on the road? Why was my daughter killed? Why was my mother and my father killed on the road today? They are being killed on the road today because evil is trying to destroy mankind again. You see, evil causes many people to be broken and become bitter because evil has twisted people and situations. But I want to encourage you this morning to remember that there in the darkness that Friday many years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ broke the fiercest attack Satan has ever brought upon mankind. It was there in the darkness that the power of Satan was broken and the forces of evil were conquered. The tragedy is that many people do not understand that today. There are many people today who will not give God a second thought until something tragically happens. And then, at the funeral service, they'll want to say to the minister, "But why did it happen?" But as I look at this great moment, I see that Jesus Christ, the God-man, is the person who was surrounded by darkness on the hill of the crucifixion.